Well, I'm going to take us to the other end of the spectrum. Instead of procurement and looking at the inputs into farm to school, we are trying to look at the outputs. In other words, what are the impacts on the actual children? We all think it's a good idea, and farm to school is great economically. Children are going to eat more fruits and vegetables. We really don't know whether that's the case. So we're looking at using composite measures of social cognitive theory and looking at differences in boys and girls. And I have no disclosures. As opposed to what sounds like Nebraska and Kentucky, Vermont is way down the road on farm to school. We're a small state. Our Department of Agriculture, our Department of Health, the schools are all on the same page. We've been doing this for many, many, many years, and we still don't have impact measures. This particular project was partly funded by the Centers for Disease Control, Shelburne Farms, which is the hub of Vermont Feed, Food Education Every Day, and the purpose was to evaluate farm-to-school programs. I will say that the farthest I believe that evaluations have gone is to show that children's preferences for foods might be different, but we really don't know about what their actual intake of fruits and vegetables. So you already know all about obesity. And we based our impact measures on the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, and there's no perfect answer. There are lots of research grants out there right now to try and figure out whether or not children are eating their fruits and vegetables. Is it what they said they did? Is it how much plate waste they had, et cetera, et cetera? Can we take pictures of their plates? Even if we do all those things, did they give their lunch away to their friends? Did they throw it under the table, et cetera, et cetera? There's no good one fantastic way. Ours was measured by self-reports after being shown several different measures of what the DGA for fruits and vegetables should look like. I would like to say that youth 6 to 11, 26 were meeting fruit recommendations in the United States, 16% meeting vegetable recommendations. If I were to hold up a map, Vermont would be extremely blue. We are the state in the nation that has more children than any other state meeting the dietary guidelines for fruits and vegetables. And maybe we're just strange. We're not sure. And the simple thing would say, oh, you have farm to school. Kids eat more fruits and vegetables. Not so quick. So social cognitive theory is the most commonly used theory for designing programs in nutrition education. Three factors work in conjunction to affect persons' behaviors: environmental, personal, and behavioral. Our farm-to-school goals to improve childhood health and nutrition and improve markets for local producers. Obviously, we're focusing on the health and nutrition side now and not the markets for local producers. But given some of the other discussions about farmers and food hubs and so on, in Vermont, our farmers don't make a whole lot of money on raw food. And so to increase their economic viability, they're always talking about value added. Well, that's not really what the schools can afford or the schools need. So one of our large food hub ideas was to develop a three-tiered approach to the food hub. One is a really high-end CSA, creme de la creme products, and it's sold out. The second is a lower CSA. It's delivered at sites, work sites, and hospitals and so on around the state. And that's your basic CSA. And then you have the carrots that people in the CSAs aren't really wanting anymore. And something that I've noticed after belonging to a CSA for 25 years is it used to be you went and you picked up your vegetables, and now people are being really picky at their CSA. And it kind of bothers me. I tell the person in front of me, just take the damn tomato. It's not perfect. But that's what's happening. And so schools can use some of those foods that don't look perfect. And so our food hub approach is to have a three-level food hub for the fruits and vegetables. So our final model, and now it's going to get a little bit complicated, but I tried to put it piece by piece. Meeting the dietary guidelines for Americans for recommendations for fruits and vegetables, and that's the final thing that we're after. And as I said, we're looking at constructs of social cognitive model, and what we've done is to develop two different clusters. Here they're called green and red, and it just means that one is more ready to accept these fruits and vegetables, and one is less ready. And it was interesting that when you separated out boys and girls, You got two clusters. When we did it for looking at boys and girls together, you got three, sort of a red, yellow, green, but it wasn't that hierarchical. But the point is that it seems that boys and girls are very different, and you can't treat them as one size fits all. And indeed, those clusters are a dependent variable. So what facilitates their actions, their reported home behaviors, their farm-to-school activities, teacher-reported farm-to-school curriculum, teacher-reported farm-to-school activity index. Here's another thing about farm-to-school. We've heard that they're really grassroots. When you're trying to measure impact of farm-to-school and there's so many different grassroots parts of the programs, I'll tell you, USDA and NIH is pretty opposed to funding this because they say there's so many different things. How are you going to control this on the one hand? And on the other hand, you say it's a grassroots program. The schools need to decide what's best for them to develop. The other thing in Vermont is we could nary find a school that hadn't participated in farm to school in some way. So it's impossible to find a control group. The home environment, and I'll say this up front, is we are finding that the home environment is the most important aspect of this. And so I really feel strongly, we have a couple of grant proposals in now to look at parents' involvement in farm to school, but it's what's happening in the home that is predisposing students to accept or not to accept fruits and vegetables in the school. So it happens way before students get to kindergarten. And of course, you have your availability, accessibility. Cafeteria Resources Index. Even in Vermont, where we're often referred to as a bunch of farmers, they just don't cook in the cafeterias anymore. There are not facilities for food preparation. Whether or not students or schools participated in the Fruits and Vegetables USDA program, school lunch price, how often the kids eat in the cafeteria, and how much they like the cafeteria food. So it's a multi-component structural equation that we ultimately end up with. And of course, controlling for other factors. So here are our schools, 12 public schools in 10 counties, both urban and rural, as urban as you can call anything in Vermont. All participated in National School Lunch Program. All have some elements of farm to school. We had both teacher and student surveys and food service staff interviews. So it was a multi-component data collection. So step one, are boys and girls different? And indeed, we found that they were. Are there composite measures of social cognitive theory, personal constructor? Social cognitive theory, personal constructs. We put six indices of the personal constructs in and came out with two different clusters. And finally, do those measures predict meeting the DGA guidelines? Here are the measures of personal constructs. This is in an article forthcoming in the Journal of School Health, but there are several of them, and all of these indices were deemed to be reliable. Some of them we used from those farm-to-school work that was done in North Carolina, and others we have constructed ourselves. So the indices, food systems learning, neophobia, self-efficacy, that means I'm able to do these things, fruit and vegetable norms, my peers actually eat fruits and vegetables, and so on, all were inputs into those two clusters. And there's a lot going on here, don't worry. The bottom line is girls and boys are different. The higher girls score lower on fruit neophobia, that's the second column, second line down, and higher on vegetable neophobia, the higher the score there, the less neophobic they are. Girls seem to be better able to report that they can consume these goods, and there's no difference on social norms. Now, when we look at just a bivariate analysis of looking at the cluster and meets the DGA, you can see that in Vermont, a lot of the students are meeting the DGA way higher than the national average, girls much more than boys. But even those in the red cluster for girls, the ones with barriers, almost two-thirds are meeting the DGA, whereas boys, about 20% are. So just to remind you of the model and where we're going. So stage one, we predict what cluster the students are in. And stage two, we look at impact. And the model predicted that 70% of girls would be in the green cluster. And if you look at the large numbers on the right, the farm-to-school curriculum index, the higher the teachers rated that index, it added 4% to that probability. The parental modeling index added 6% to the probability. The parental facilitation added another 6%, so that's 12% more to the probability. Years farm to school actually decreased the probability of being in that I am able to do that cluster. Summer, and then at the bottom, the few at the bottom were different activities that went on. Summer camp with the garden increased that probability to 80%, and Met at Farmer did a taste test to 91%. The boys' results were lower, predicted 69%, and for boys, home behaviors increased it to 74. Parental modeling and facilitation, both large increases, again, a 12% higher when you add those together. Always eat school lunch increased it, the probability a lot, and like school lunch a lot increased that probability of being in that green cluster. And then you look at the stage two, and we predicted that 77% of the girls would meet the DGA recommendations and 58% of the boys, and being in that high cluster for social cognitive theory, almost 100% of the girls and over three quarters of the boys were predicted to meet the DGA. Interestingly, the higher the school lunch price, the higher the probability of meeting the DGA. Now, as an economist, we say the higher the price, the lower your likelihood to do that. But we think it's a proxy for better school lunches, and what's happening is the higher socioeconomic children are subsidizing the lower socioeconomic children in the schools because of the higher school lunch prices associated with a better ability to offer some of these different menu types. So conclusions, composite measures of social cognitive theory do seem to be an important predictor of meeting the DGA for both boys and girls. It suggests that incorporating this theory could have a greater impact on school on children's food-related behavior. But interestingly, curriculum and activities related to farm to school are indicated differently for boys and girls. For boys, participating in activities at homes with family, always eating lunch, and liking had positive effects. And for girls, it was some other activities. And finally, the distinct clusters may benefit from interventions that are designed specifically to appeal to their strengths and weaknesses. In other words, one size doesn't fit all for farm-to-school programs. Any questions? Yes. You know, whether or not the percentage of children in the schools that were eligible for free and reduced price school lunch didn't make any difference. So that's really the only socioeconomic factor that we could control for within the school, is by knowing what the school district was like, because it was separated by we had data on school level and on children level, and we were certainly not going to ask children who were 9 to 11 years old what socioeconomic characteristics they had. So our proxy there was percent of free and reduced price school lunch, and it ranged anywhere from 40 to 80%, and not significant. It's 90-10 and changing. It's 90% white. The diversity in Vermont comes from socioeconomic diversity and mostly refugee populations. Yes?
How did you measure the home environment? What kind of questions were you asking to distinguish what the home environment was about?
These were scales that were developed at North Carolina, and they were things like, I have fruits and vegetables at dinner every night, or those kinds of scales that were easy for 9 to 11-year-olds to answer.
Yeah. I ask because in my work, which is similar, but with teenagers, we find that after our intervention, the home environment changes rather than this way. And I was wondering if you know what the timing is. Is it causative or is it a repercussion of the intervention?
That's a really good question, and so you'd sort of want this feedback loop, and indeed, that's how recycling permeated through the United States, is the kids brought it home from school. And I think that when you're talking about fourth to fifth graders, who knows? I imagine it's going both ways.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Great.
Can you talk a little bit about the that length of time with farm to school was a negative predictor?
Yes. Farm to school in Vermont has been going on for at least 10 years. And so many schools are trying to, and I can't separate out by all these 10 schools, but many schools are trying to incorporate more and more and more and more and more farm to school activities in their schools. It's not this first shot. So I think for girls that perhaps they're saying enough already. It's in activities, it's in the cafeteria, it's before school, now we've got to go in the garden. And it truly has permeated a lot of the school curriculum. Anyone else?
I think you should probably
thank you.